We have a fine program, I'm sure it will be interesting. It will be informative. And we have quite a few guests, which we will proceed in about 2 minutes. So give us a little minute or two and we'll proceed. Would you honor us? Are you here on behalf of Mr. Behan? On behalf of the committee, I would like all those that presented us with their program to try to keep it within 10 minutes. And we will greatly appreciate it. I'll give you 9.5. But we'll try to keep it within 10 minutes. Thank you.
For those of you that don't know, I'm Robin Temple, Deputy with the Division of Veterans Affairs. John Behan asked me to represent him. He unfortunately cannot be here as he is testifying with Senator Hoblock in the Veterans Affairs Committee in the Senate. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. With your permission, I have a prepared statement signed by Mr. Behan, which would take approximately 6-7 minutes to read.
Please do.
Okay. Thank you. Dear Mr. DeMarco, thank you for the opportunity to provide the New York State Council of Veterans Organizations an overview of acute health care, long-term health care, and home care services currently provided our military veterans within New York State. The Division of Veterans Affairs has, since 1945, provided professional benefits counseling and advocacy for veterans and active duty military personnel and their families. It is a responsibility the Division has readily accepted and met for more than half a century, serving as a vital link and conduit of information between the veterans community and those federal, state, and local governmental and private agencies, offering programs and benefits targeting former servicemen and women and their families. The Division meets its commitment to the veterans community through a statewide network of veterans counseling offices, which provide professional, experienced, and free personal benefits counseling and advocacy services to those seeking help. The agency's 58 state veteran counselors, backed by a support staff of senior counselors, claims supervisors, secretaries, and central office personnel, responded to more than 140,000 requests for help in 1994. The last completed reporting period, providing some 234,000 services to veterans, their families, and survivors. During 94, state veterans counselors filed nearly 12,000 federal benefits applications, which resulted in nearly 9,500 benefit awards that brought in more than $37 million in federal benefits to New York State veterans and dependents. Advising veterans and assisting them in accessing available health care, including nursing homes, occurs day in and day out in state veterans counseling offices across New York State. State counselors often are the ones veterans and family members turn to first when a health crisis occurs, seeking guidance on what to do or where to get the attention they need for specific health problems, whether it be acute care or long-term care. Every state veteran counselor has worked with a veteran's family at one time or another when they have come to the office for help in deciding on what to do with a loved one in need of care that could only be found in a nursing home. Such decisions are painful yet our counselors provide understanding and compassionate guidance and help in locating and accessing a facility that meets the needs of the constituent. Recognizing these needs of the state's aging and ailing veterans community, New York has responded with a progressive state veterans home program, which offers outstanding long-term skilled health care to veterans and certain dependents through a network of 4 nursing homes around the state. We presently administer 4 homes in New York State with a bed capacity of 962 distributed among the following. Our veterans home in Oxford, which is in Oxford, New York, Shenango County, is a 242 residential healthcare facility originally established in the late 1800s as a home for Civil War veterans and their widows. The facility was rebuilt in 1979 and is operated by the Department of Health's Institutional Management Services. The home is open to wartime veterans and certain eligible dependents. Like all other state veterans' homes, Oxford requires residents to pay for what they can for their care with VA benefits and per diem and also Medicaid utilized whenever possible. Long Island Veterans Home, State University of New York in Stony Brook, is a 350-bed facility opened in 91 and operated by the State University of New York at Stony Brook. The facility is open to all veterans, with preference given to those who served during a period of hostility or conflict. Our third home is in St. Albans in Jamaica, New York. That is a 250-bed facility opened in 1993 and operated by the Department of Health. The home is located adjacent to the VA Medical Center. Our newest home, which was just dedicated here in late 95, is in Batavia, also on the grounds of the VA Medical Center there. It is a 126-bed facility and operated by the Department of Health. A fifth state home, as many of you know, is targeted for Montrose in Westchester County. New York has authorized its share of the funding and is awaiting approval from the VA for award of a 65% construction grant. The 250-bed facility would be located adjacent to the VA Medical Center in Montrose. State veterans' homes provide competent and skilled health care to residents who also benefit from their shared experiences in the military, which provide a common ground for camaraderie. In addition, state veterans' homes are extensively supported by local veterans' organizations that contribute endless hours of volunteer work and services to help make the lives of veterans more pleasurable and comfortable in their later years. The New York State Division of Veterans Affairs is an active participant in the planning and expansion of the State Veterans Home Program, working closely with the Department of Health, the State Dormitory Authority, and the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs to address the nursing home care needs of our veterans community. The division also plays a key role in helping veterans become residents of the homes. State counselors make veterans and their families aware of the availability of health care at the facilities and personally assist those waiting to become residents throughout the admission process, including securing necessary documentation and submitting applications. State Veterans Counselors also work with the facility staff to file for maximum VA compensation and pension benefits and per diem benefits that are crucial to the fiscal stability of the homes. In general, it is our experience that residents of state veterans homes receive professional, competent, and compassionate care from the medical and support staffs at the facilities. Across the state, various veterans groups are lobbying for creation of a state veteran home in their own community. Ideally, we would like to see a home in every county, but we know that would not be feasible nor fiscally responsible. In expanding state veterans home program, we must meet certain criteria: the availability of VA construction grant money, a documented unmet nursing home bed need in the designated area, availability of funds for the state's share of the project, and the ability of the nursing home to be fiscally self-sustaining once occupied. If the above criteria can be met, we will actively pursue the creation of a state veteran home in a specific region. We must, however, complete our current commitment to building a home in Montrose before we can undertake another obligation. Home health care. For many veterans and their families, nursing home care is a last resort. They simply do not want to be institutionalized and want to remain at home for whatever the reason. For some, this is not an option, but for others, remaining at home is viable if they can receive support and assistance from within the community. State Veterans Counselors are experienced in linking the elderly and disabled veteran with all available home care services within the community. Counselors, through their creative energies, have established networks of agencies and service providers to address the wide range of needs they see daily. Those veterans receiving care in their homes often are further served by state veteran counselors who obtain for them financial benefits through the VA Disability Pension Benefit. The pension, which is based on financial need, can often be maximized to reflect the needs of those who are housebound or in need of aid and attendance. By providing personal attention to the individual's financial condition and factoring in medical expenses, counselors can often substantially increase a veteran's monthly income, which in turn can pay for necessary home health care programs and services. Nearly half of New York's 1.6 million veterans are senior citizens or on the threshold of reaching that status in life. Based on 1994 statistics, the latest available from the VA, more than 506,000 veterans served during World War II, which ended a half century ago, with another 268,000 veterans having served during the Korean War, in which fighting ended nearly 43 years ago. The division, to ensure that our aging veterans are aware of benefits and services that can help, sponsors senior citizen benefits awareness forums around the state as an outreach effort so that members of the veterans community know what is out there and where to go to get the help they need. In fact, we just held one in Palmyra last Thursday where over 160 veterans from Western New York were in attendance. In conducting these seminars, the division works closely with state and local office for the aging, VA medical staff, and the Social Security Administration, among other service providers. Many of these veterans need or will need long-term care and will be looking to the VA in New York State to fulfill its historic commitment to its veterans. Our VA medical centers. In the state, we currently have 12, more than any other state in the union. It is estimated that 8% of the hospital beds in New York State are within VA medical centers. Staggering statistic. The federal government in past years has spent more than $1 billion annually in New York State for health care. It appears, however, that the VA is on the verge of restructuring its veterans benefits system, which could result in consolidation of health care programs with certain medical centers specializing in a singular health need. As a result, veterans may not be able to receive the general health care previously obtained from their local VA medical center, and as a result, will have to utilize civilian health services. This will increase the demand on community services as well as result in a greater fiscal burden on state and local governments who may have to pick up the medical costs for the care, an expense not borne when a veteran uses a VA health care facility. A restructure of VA system will almost assuredly result in fewer beds being available, possibly the closing as many as two VA facilities in New York State, and a cutback in staff and less spending for health care in New York. This will not only impact the availability and possibly quality of health care afforded veterans, but also will have an economic impact on the state with the loss of jobs and revenue that stimulated local economies and produced revenue locally and statewide. In 1994, the Division of Veterans Affairs, in conjunction with the State Department of Social Services, implemented a program designed to identify Medicaid cost avoidance activities undertaken by the division in serving veterans and their families. Reportable activities include linking veterans to VA health care and other programs, which, if not accessible, would have resulted in the veteran utilizing other services, such as public assistance or public health care, that would have resulted in a Medicaid expense to the state and local government. In 1994, the division's 58 state counselors averaged more than $100,000 in offset savings in state Medicaid funds. And to summarize, creation of a New York State Veterans Health Care Authority is a concept worthy of consideration. Although further details would be necessary to provide meaningful comment on the proposal. In recent years, New York's veterans community has repeatedly indicated that long-term health care is one of the major concerns of its men and women. Those of us involved in veterans advocacy must continue to fight for every dollar available from Washington and Albany that can help us ensure that those who served our nation in their youth are cared for in their golden years. And it's signed sincerely by our director, John L. Behan.
Thank you. Are there any questions from the Bill Altwell?
Bill.
I have a couple of questions, Robin. Number one, you indicated on page two of this letter that there are 962 nursing home beds currently available.
Correct.
Do you have any information as to the needs for nursing home, for beds for veterans, nursing home beds for veterans over the next 10 years? Have you guys done any projections, or has anybody else done any projections on what the need might be?
I'm not personally aware of that, but Harvey McCaig is here. Harvey, any idea on that?
I'm not aware of any projections on the
Within the next 10 years, numbers of beds for veterans that would be needed.
If I were to throw out a number like 10,000, there would be a need for maybe 10,000 beds. Would that be an unreasonable projection?
I might suggest that later on today you're going to be hearing
that. Okay.
They have the nursing home bed assessment in different health regions, and they project ahead total nursing home bed
Then my next question is, has anybody looked at how the needs of an older veteran differ from the needs of the general needs of an aging population? How is an aging veteran different? Has anybody looked at that you're aware of?
Not that I'm aware of. You know, an interesting thing is, only 5% of senior citizens, whether they're veterans or not, really seek a nursing home. The movement is to stay at home and be taken care of in any way possible. And I was amazed with that statistic. You got 100 elderly people, only 5 of them will ever be admitted to a nursing home. So that has to be considered. And, you know, the health department does projections. And possibly somebody here today would be able to better answer that question, Bill.
Robin, I have just one question.
Sure, Ralph.
Budget-wise, how is the division coming out on this budget?
Well, we're okay for 96, we understand, in terms of staffing. We largely owe that to John Behan's advocacy. In terms of other things like training or any special programs or equipment, that's probably not going to happen unless we fare well with the legislature. And half of us are over there and over here these past 2 days trying to make that happen.
Is there any possibility of increasing the service hours from 58 to back in 1947 where we had 97?
Well, the way I understand it, there is $200,000 budgeted. Okay, we're hopeful that the legislature will match that, and that will be the same dollar amount to local agencies, city and county, that they had last year. If we can maintain that for 96, then hopefully 97, 98, we can ask to restore that to the original amount.
Thank you. Is anyone else on the committee? Rick?
One fast question. In your statement on the bottom paragraph on page 5, Rob, you talk about the effort of the division with the Department of Social Services that resulted in significant numbers of savings. My understanding on the grapevine and talking to a number of folks is it also resulted in veterans getting health care and other kinds of services getting pulled back into the service matrix that hadn't been reached before. You talk about this as if this project has totally ended. Is that correct?
No, it's going on as we speak.
It's ongoing? Is it just in this area, or is it now being expanded to all counties in the state?
Well, it's statewide for our counselors. We have no control if local veterans offices are doing this or not. They would have to pursue that on their own. You're talking about the federal participating, the fund?
I'm talking about the council is working with Department of Social Services trying to pull people into VA matrix for health care services and other kinds of services.
Right. Well, we're working on improving these relationships we have with state and local people as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions? Robin, I want to thank you, and the council extends our gratitude to the New York State Division of Veterans Affairs, Mr. John Behan, for invaluable advice and counsel to continue to extend the council and our member organization. The veterans of New York are indeed fortunate to have a public official of such quality in key positions at this difficult time. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you very much,
and
Mr. Chairman.
And thanks, Mr. Behan.
Thank you.
At this time, I'd like to make an introduction for this gentleman. We have a Bob Carr who represents Congressman Michael R. McNulty. Bob Carr, welcome, sir. Normally, our sessions are opened with our Assembly Veterans Affairs Committee Chairman Ron Tocci, and of course, the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee Chairman Michael Hoblock. Since Mr. Hoblock has a meeting at this time, a matter of fact, a meeting of the Veterans Affairs Committee, and he will be here later, he sent down a letter which he wished that I would read. Dear Veterans, although I am unable to give the opening comments at this forum, as chairman of the Senate Standing Committee on Veterans and Military Affairs, I would like to take this opportunity to welcome you here today. Health care has always been an issue of prime importance to the veteran community of New York State. Now, with the average age of this nation's veterans population steadily increasing, the need to improve the provisions and accessibility of health care are becoming even greater. In 1995, the Senate legislature enacted several measures in response to this growing demand. including most sufficiently legislation to authorize the financing and construction of a new state home for veterans in the lower Hudson Valley. This year, our committee will take a proactive stance on all veterans issues, and I hope by combining resources and the ideas, we can create a common agenda to benefit all. As veterans, we all know that our strength lies in unity. This forum will be a good start towards achieving our goal this year, and I am looking forward to working with you in 1996, and of course it's signed Michael T. Harblock, Jr., State Senator. We thank the Senator for his letter. The next gentleman we have on our program, we have Mr. John Rowan, the President of the Vietnam Veterans of America New York State Council. Welcome, John.
Good morning. Good afternoon. I don't know, Robin's stuck in the slot here. Good afternoon.
John, before you start,
We
made a little ruling. We have your statement. Try to keep it within 10 minutes.
No, I'm not even reading that.
Great. I know you weren't going to do it, but I wanted our people to know.
Now, Barry Heimbender, one of our National Board of Directors of VBA, has been kind enough to hand out the statement, which is a somewhat lengthy one, hot off the presses, as they say. And I will try to just hit some of the highlights in this, because I know we have a number of people who are coming up to testify this afternoon to enlighten us in a lot of areas. First, let me say that I'm proud to have the opportunity to testify before this esteemed group of veterans leaders, chaired by Mr. DeMarco, an old friend. Ralph and I go back a long way in this business, and I know I'm getting old because I just got my AARP card, so I'm having much more affinity to nursing homes and things like that. But I am very proud to have representing VBA as the state president and to see that we are ably represented in this body, and that the veterans organizations of all the major ones, minor ones, in between ones, sideways ones, whatever, have joined together to try to help veterans. We have different organizations for a whole lot of reasons, and we all know the history, some of us do anyway. But I'm glad to see we're able to come together, and I really must give our president, Mr. DeMarco, a lot of credit for that.
Here.
I think Ralph did a great job. And I know we couldn't do it without him. We are here this afternoon to talk about health care, this being the second in a series of forums by the Council of Veterans Organizations Legislative Representatives. And I think that I can speak for our organization, having talked to a lot of the legislative leaders here, that I think we're starting to wake them up to look at different things. And maybe we can really change the whole way of doing business up here in Albany. Healthcare is a central purpose of the veteran service organizations. I mean, it's really one of the main reasons why we came into existence, most of us. The first line of issues with Veterans Affairs has always been to care for those who have won the battle. And clearly that is usually focused on hospitals, even going back to the earliest days. As we've become more sophisticated, perhaps, or more knowledgeable in the sciences, things have branched out into other areas over the years, but healthcare is still a basic issue. How do we take care of those who are frail, who can't make their own way? New York State has always been a leader in veterans issues, and I think we can take great pride in that. Prodded perhaps by the veteran service organizations, but a leader nonetheless. And I hope that we can continue that role, and that we can show the rest of the United States, frankly, where it's at on some of these issues, and to show them how we can create sorts of methods and ways of dealing with some of the problems that we have in our veterans community. We are going to hear some testimony later on, I know, from the representatives in the Veterans Administration talking about what's going on with the VA. It's in the throes of a radical reorganization. The new Veterans Integrated Service Networks are going to impact us greatly as customers of a system. We all know that much of this is being pressured because of fiscal issues. We all know very well what the economic situation is in this country and the problems that all levels of government are facing trying to finance things. And we can fully understand the need to streamline and to consolidate and do whatever is necessary to make things function more efficiently. However, I'll come back to that in a minute, but there are concerns and perhaps some downsides to that as well. I am also proud to be a New Yorker because I think we in New York are at a juncture in history in the veterans community where we have brought together, I believe, the best leadership that we've seen in the state probably ever. The triumvirate of Mike Havelock and Ron Tocci and John Behan, each in their linchpins of part of this triangle of the legislature and the governor, his representative in Veterans Affairs, is something we've looked forward to for a long time. And we have three individuals there who can work together, who I believe have similar visions, and to some extent they'll take some pride, come from a similar generation, being all Vietnam veterans. And so I think we are in good standing there. Not to get political, but we are also in an election year, and I'll take whatever advantage that gets me. I also believe that those of us who work with the VA in the national level have seen some changes in that administration as well, and I think many of us can take pride with Secretary Brown's administration in the VA at the national level, and I'm sure the DAV will be happy to take good credit for that, having put him into office perhaps, and certainly having trained him in well as he came up through the ranks in the leadership of the DAV. Which I guess shows my ecumenical aspects of my veteran service organizations here. And our lobbying efforts this past couple of days is in VBA, we've focused on a concept rather than a particular item. The issue of what we coin a phrase, fair share. We believe the veterans are not getting their fair share in the state. We have seen in the last testimony given at our previous hearing the fact that how little veterans clients within certain state agencies are receiving care. The most appalling aspect was OASIS to tell us they got only 48 beds, which aren't even online yet, to treat almost 11,000 veterans, never mind their families. We were going to hear the same, I think, when we finally hold our hearing in mental health about what's going on in OMH, even though they have made some inroads in the homeless area. We've saw that with the Department of Housing and Community Renewal, basically tells us go and yell and scream and maybe you'll get a piece of the pie. That really shouldn't be how it works. It certainly was the case with the Department of Social Services, who told us out of 100, they were proud to tell us how they gave us $193 million for homeless programs last year. Only $4 million of it went to veterans programs, even though we're 30% of the homeless males. We really want to focus attention on the special needs of veterans. We think we need to move on to other branches. Everybody's dumped things on the VA for years. The state agencies have a lot to be accountable for. We also want to talk about rigorous enforcement of the law. We've been coming up to Albany for many, many years, and I know many of you have been coming here long before I was ever involved in this business, fighting for law after law, trying to get veterans' rights in the state. And you succeeded very ably in many instances. Unfortunately, the enforcement of those laws leaves a lot to be desired. And I think we can focus on that as well, something that we need to talk about as veteran service organizations. We've passed the laws, now let's see what happened to them. Get them to come to us and tell us what they've done with those laws that we've handed them. What have they done for our veterans? But the issue today that we're dealing with is chronic long-term health care as a main topic. I had the pleasure this morning of having a joint press conference with Assemblyman Tocci, and I'm sure you'll hear from again from Ron later when he comes in. I know he's, like everybody else, running around like a crazy person, is thing called Albany, where we joined Ron in raising the concept of creating a New York State Veterans Health Care Aid Authority. Now, the concept of this has been focused primarily on kind of pull together all the nursing homes. As I said, I'm getting more and more affinity for these nursing homes, especially if my wife keeps yelling at me for coming to too many of these veterans meetings. I may have to need one of these days. But the nursing homes are only one aspect of health care. It is the first aspect we'd like to see this authority get involved in. And they can certainly pull that together, the disparate operations that are going on now across the state. This is an issue that's come up. Many of the veterans organizations have talked about this, and I think we're finally going to see a bill put on the table that we can debate, argue, whatever, modify, but hopefully get something come out of it by the fall. While the focus is on veterans' homes, initially I think we also may want to take a look at what other issues there may be with regards to veterans' health care. And I take health care rather loosely. I don't just mean focusing on, you know, a hospital situation where somebody goes in for appendicitis. Mental health issues are health issues. Substance abuse programs are often health issues. Alcoholism is a health issue, despite what the VA says that it's non-voluntary and we should not claim anything for it. And as I mentioned earlier, with these new visions or whatever they're calling them, these Veterans Integrated Service Networks, and we'll get the acronym down soon, I'm sure, are creating both opportunities and perhaps some concerns. And it may be in the area of concerns where we want to look at how the state authority may be able to get involved and how state agencies may be getting involved. Well, as I mentioned earlier, there are certainly opportunities for saving money and having a fiscal impact and perhaps being a more efficient deliverer of services, and I hope that we'll hear more of that from the folks in the VA today. But I'm also concerned about diminishing services. And one of the areas we really are concerned about is the diminishing services with regards to alcoholism and substance abuse and what's going to happen to them and those that need that service, especially in light of the fact that the state is not providing anything in that regard for all intents and purposes. I'm also concerned about what is going to be considered a veterans program, or as they call it, a special program. Health care issues that are specified towards veterans. And there's a long list of those, including like homelessness and Persian Gulf syndrome. But in the list that I saw recently, there were a couple of things missing, like Agent Orange issues and radiation exposure. We want to make sure that all of our issues are covered, issues that are generic to us and not generic to the general population. So we are concerned about that. We are concerned about what's going to happen with those programs in this state. With regards to that, we have a couple of things that we'd like to throw on the table very quickly. First, we want to see real consumer input into the decisions made by those structures that affect us, particularly in the area of health care, and particularly for disabled veterans. We wanted to look and believe, and maybe perhaps this is one of the areas that this health care authority could come into play again, and that's a mechanism to gather all the funding streams together. One of the things we've seen when we've worked in the homeless business down in New York City and the rest of the states, that when we put together agencies from all the different levels, state, federal, city, we've got a better bang for our buck. And we were able to match those programs. So maybe we could only get psychiatric social workers out of OMH, and maybe we got caseworkers out of the VA, and we got the city to provide the funding for the actual building. All of those were able to come together in a memorandum of understanding to create a true, complete program for veterans. We need to do more of that, and we believe that we can. And third, and this is really understandable, we want them to focus on a veterans health care system, not a health care system that just happens to handle veterans. There are issues that are ours. Granted, post-traumatic stress disorder comes from a lot of ways, but there is a difference when you're talking about post-traumatic stress disorder caused by a combat situation. There's a difference, frankly, with Agent Orange, sorry to say. And I think there's a difference with whatever we're going to find the cause of all these problems for all of those who served in the Persian Gulf. And who knows what's going to crop up out of Bosnia, a new field for us to play in. So those are just kind of three general ideas that we have. As far as our friends in the VA, we would like to make some suggestions to them. First, that they move ahead quickly to name the members of the Stakeholders Advisory Council and to begin to have regular meetings of these groups in each of the networks located in New York State. Let's get this participation rolling. Second, we recommend that the two network directors ensure that they have a concerted effort to share information as to how and why the shape of services to veterans is changing and to inform the veterans community. I think we've had that in the beginning stages. I think we've got some good leaders in the VA, and I look forward to hearing from them, and I look forward to working with them as we proceed. But it's key and crucial that the veterans understand what is happening to their system. We are not just knee-jerk reactionaries that say no to everything. We want to look at what's going on, but we want to be informed and not after the fact. Third, the VA can enforce its own regulations, mandating that military history be taken for every veteran admitted to a VA medical facility and ensure that said military history be utilized in diagnosis and all treatment plans. Sometimes people forget inside the VA system that they're handling veterans, that they're not just a general hospital. And with that, I would really like to close, and as I say, we've passed out the long version of this. And again, I just want to thank this group. I think that we, under the leadership of Ralph and the other veterans leaders in the state, and again with our leaders in the legislature and with Mr. Behan, we can move things ahead. We can really do some changes. We can really make things better, even in this times of economic woe. Many of the things we're talking about here are not more money, but better spent money. And I thank you all.
Thank you, John. George
Weinstein, Jewish War Veterans. I'd like to make one comment, not a question, of an area that John and I have talked about, but report on it, on what he's saying and how we can do things together. The Philadelphia area of all the Allied veterans groups got together, and the result was, with city and state government, that they were able to build a multi-storied facility which would donate, the money was donated at almost $500,000 from the hospitals themselves, the private hospitals. And this is to house veterans and their families who are on outpatient care but live too far from a VA medical center. It's one of the biggest in the country. Another area that have done a similar thing, where all the veterans groups and state and federal and city government, and in this case, the VA and HUD get together in building private homes for homeless veterans and their families in the Pittsburgh, Monroeville general area. And right now I'm working with them on a 39 home unit there on a similar deal. And in those kind of situations, the unions have stepped in and said, no money, we will build for nothing. Thank you.
Pete?
Yeah, John. You were talking about the consolidation of the healthcare system. Do you think that veterans would and will receive the priority of care through this system?
Which system are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about
Visions,
the Visions. Yeah.
Well, the Visions is still VA. I mean, I think it's just they can speak for themselves better than I can. I mean, I think that's a good question to ask them later. I mean, is what I know of it, there is a reorganizational structural thing, and I think we have a real question, is what's going to happen to the veterans. The VA does not stand alone in the area of health care. It cannot isolate itself from the changes that are occurring in the general society. I mean, clearly we all know the pressures in going into the health maintenance organizations, into all kinds of changes in hospitalization programs in this country. I mean, the whole new look of Medicaid and Medicare, all kinds of things going on in the health field, and the VA is not immune to that. So, I mean, I'm going to be very interested to see how this progresses. I hope it's going to be something for the better, and I hope it's not going to be something that's going to lead to a diminishing of services.
Anyone else on the panel?
I just want to say this, John. I got the good news from Washington, my Washington office.
Oh, good.
For the first time, I think for the first time, because I've been involved 31 years. Our commander-in-chief called a meeting which was attended by all the commander-in-chiefs or presidents, whatever they're called, from the major veterans organizations, sat down to discuss veterans' health care and opening up the VA to 26 million veterans instead of serving just 2.1, and you know, eventually it gets less and less, and before you know it, I'm sure by the year 2002, God knows how many hospitals will be closed. And they're coming out with one voice, and this just only happened about a week and a half ago, on the 26th of January. And to let the public know what our organization consists of, the New York State, it's a council. We have 27 veterans organizations on our council with the support of the American Legion. We intend to speak with one voice. We may have our own organization, like John says, and we may have our little things, but we intend, that's the purpose of this one, to speak as one voice. And we want you to know that we intend to, and we will speak with one voice. Thank you, John. We appreciate your...
Thank you, Ralph.
I just want to mention an aide to John, or also in his own right, he's the National Board of Directors, the Director at Large, Mr. Barry Heimbender. Welcome, sir. Right, great. Oh, the next gentleman on the list is Mr. James Facetta, Network Director of Veterans.